Jason Leisure. I'm Patrick Finley. Jason, coming up, we will talk about what's going on in Hallis Hall, what Caleb Williams thinks about it, and what's next for Thomas Brown. That and more coming up on Hallis Intrigue. Jason, as you and I sit here inside Hallis Hall at 3:30-ish on a Wednesday, we just got done talking to Caleb Williams and Thomas Brown and a bunch of guys in the locker room about the changes that have occurred since Friday when they fired Matt Eberflus. What do you think the vibe is? People like to use the word vibe around here. What do you think the vibe is?
Why do you say it like that? I like to use the word vibe around here.
By the way, can we agree that it's a vibe is a phrase that nobody should ever use?
Yeah, that's fine. But okay. I can describe, you know, the vibe of the building or the vibe of our work relationship or the vibe of my house, right?
Yeah, you're allowed. I'm not telling you you can't.
But you disapprove. The vibe at Hallis Hall, I would say, is exactly what you would expect it to be if you worked at a place where you thought the boss had no clue what he was doing and had had enough of it, and his boss said, okay, we got you. That guy's out, and we're going to replace him with a guy that you're going to love in Thomas Brown. It is refreshed and re-energized. This is the happiest 6-game losing streak team I've ever seen, Patrick.
I don't know. I was telling you last week, there were some guys singing some R&B in the locker room on a Tuesday, and I walked out being like, boy, these guys are really good to go.
The players kind of seem like they're coming off a win, because I think maybe they are.
Yeah, maybe. I think there's a substitute teacher element to this. And listen, they respect Thomas Brown, and they think he's great in the room and all of that. But I do think that they know that this is probably not the end of the change here. And that can be stressful. That can be stress-inducing. That can be maybe a little bit of a letting the air out of the balloon in a good way, too.
You mentioned that we talked to Caleb Williams today. Caleb Williams probably has shown the most composure and been the most steady speaker that the Bears have put out in 5 days.
Okay.
Thomas Brown's very compelling too, but he's not really the guy overseeing all of this. Caleb Williams is, you know, if you look at like power players in an organization, it's five of them. It's owner, president, GM, coach, quarterback.
You're saying he was better than Kevin Warren at the microphone?
I thought he did great. I thought Caleb Williams was in there and acknowledged what had happened and was asked a very good question today about, do you think all this hurts your development when you're...
Was this you? Was this your question?
No, this was someone else. This was Matt Zahn from CBS.
Oh, great. Okay.
And Caleb said, no, I don't think this slows my development. I think this is a stepping stone in my development. I'm not happy that all of this happened, but I will benefit from the turbulence, from overcoming all of this. He talked about keep going. He talked very optimistically about his future and the Bears' future. Talked about, you know, for example, he was discussing the post-game confrontation between Jalen Johnson and Matt Eberflus, and he said, Jalen's frustrated. Jalen's been here a long time, 5 years now, and the record has not been what he wanted, and the playoffs have not been there. And Caleb looks up and says, that's coming. Okay. I mean, he is every bit as confident as he was the day we met him. The first day, not the day we met him, but the day he walked in the building for the first time. Every bit as confident now, having gone through Pat 4-8 and a OC and a head coach fired in his rookie season. Like 2/3 of the way through his rookie season. There's a lot of season left still. And he is undeterred. And I cannot picture, as much as I think highly of both of these people, I cannot picture Justin Fields or Mitch Trubisky coming in there, the last two franchise quarterback candidates, coming in there and talking with the poise and confidence and striking the exact right tone like Caleb Williams today.
Yeah, that's not Justin's personality anyway. Justin would have sat there and be like, no, man, that's good. And he would not, there's not a lot of attaboy in Justin. I think there is. And Caleb, a little behind the scenes here, Jason went in to the Caleb Williams press conference. I stayed back in the locker room to talk to players. So I'm hearing a lot of this for the first time, Jason. How did he
Yeah, this was all like 10 minutes ago.
How did he characterize? Was he surprised?
He didn't really say that he was surprised. He talked a lot. Caleb Williams talked a lot about how there's a human side to this, and then there's the business side. And he talked about that. He spoke very fondly of Matt Eberflus. You've got to remember, if you are not covering an NFL team for a job, that the season starts back in May with practices. And for Caleb Williams, his relationship with the Bears started in February, with probably late February with the combine. And then, and it was such a given that they were drafting him, Patrick, as we've covered before, that the relationship started then. It was not, they're talking to Caleb, they're talking to Jaden Daniels, they're talking to J.J. McCarthy and Drake May and Bo Nix, and we'll see which one we like. It was, Caleb was the only one that ever came here for a visit.
They were teaching him their playbook. Yeah,
before their meetings the were much more install than trying to get a feel for, you know, what he had or knew or didn't know or things like that. And so this is his relationship with Matt Eberflus goes back 7 months.
Right.
It doesn't go back to the start of September. So he's very affectionate in his talking in his talking about Matt Eberflus and his family. And he said, but then the business side kicks in, and you see, you know, that something like this is happening, and it needs to happen, and he doesn't control it. He said that a couple of times, and I think that was a good thing to say.
I didn't get him fired.
Yeah, but he's like, if this is necessary, this is what we're doing.
Was he cognizant of the fact? I know you said that he said, no, this is going to slow me down. Do you get a sense that he knows that this is not normal, though?
Yeah, that was the first question.
Yeah.
That was a question I asked. You know, what do you make of a rookie season where you have your head coach and offensive coordinator fired? And this guy, nothing has gone like he thought it would.
Right.
I mean, he's dealing with his own individual frustration.
Right.
Where he's playing very well now, mm-hmm. but he came in saying he was aiming to exceed the incredible rookie season of C.J. Stroud last year.
Right.
Obviously, he's not even in the ballpark of that. Even if he finishes well, I don't think he's going to be in that level. And C.J. Stroud took his team to the playoffs that year, too. But he just, the energy that he has, the tone, the demeanor, the way he talks about himself and about the Bears, is that it's that same energetic confidence that he's had all along. And I think that's huge for them. That is a tone setter. That's a culture setter right there. If he can dictate that from the top of their locker room, as one of the power players in the organization, I was going to say five, now there's only four. As one of the four power players in this organization right now, I think that actually matters a lot more than the hits principle or whatever else Matt Eberflus talked about.
He might be the only... he might have to do it on his own Sunday. You know, it's early in the week, and Thomas Brown stressed this, but no DJ Moore, no Keenan Allen, no DeAndre Swift today because of various injuries. I think two are ankles and one is knee or a quad. I think
quad for DJ Moore and DeAndre Swift. Roshan Johnson's in the concussion protocol. Keenan Allen has what they keep listing as an ankle injury, and he keeps saying is really the heel problem.
Yeah, and remember, he rolled it on Thursday and spent some time in the blue tent before he came back out. Thomas Brown said there's a chance they also have a chance to play Sunday. Yeah. That's that piece of housekeeping out of the way. What do you make of Thomas Brown? I was in there for him as well. Typical, conversation with him that we've had kind of for the last couple months as we've gotten to know him. Felt like he went out of his way to try and be a little funny or silly or maybe run a little interference from kind of the typical question and answer. You know, there's a question, hey, what's different about practice? And he tells a story about how he's lost 25 pounds in the last 2 months. At some point he talks about his wife being his best friend. Just, you're learning a little bit more about him. Is this a good thing? Is this just him trying to be entertaining for 12 minutes?
He's definitely not trying to be entertaining. He is engaged.
Yeah.
And, Pat, that was the best press conference I think a coach has had since I've been here. I'm in my sixth season. You've done 10 or 11. That was a really good press conference.
You weren't here for the good Nagy year, though.
So it's probably back to then.
If I'm being honest, the greatest. You know what I'm going to say, Jason.
Right, Gidget.
the greatest press conference of all time was John Fox detailing that he had a monkey
for a pet. It's sad that you think that, because while that is fascinating that he had a monkey as a pet, and tragic if you don't know the story.
The monkey died. Continue.
Thank you, Patrick. That was only... That diversion was only because everything was over.
Well, that's what...
At the time.
That's what the rest of the... I mean, the 5 weeks, had they kept Eberflus, the next 5 weeks would have been that.
We might have eventually found out that he had his own Gidget the Monkey.
Yeah, we would have been desperate for a Gidget the Monkey story.
Thomas Brown is totally different, though. Right. Thomas Brown is a unique interim coach, because usually the interim coach is Barry Alvarez.
Right.
Or a Barry Alvarez type.
Every time there's an interim coach in the world, Barry Alvarez shows
exactly.
up.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And this is a legitimate candidate to win the job here or elsewhere. And Thomas Brown is getting an unprecedented opportunity for him to introduce you to him and to show his personality. We know who Thomas Brown is. We'd heard of Thomas Brown before the Bears hired him, but a lot of NFL fans, probably a lot of Bears fans, probably didn't.
Right.
They're meeting this guy for the first time in, you know, probably the last few weeks since he's been the offensive coordinator. And certainly, if you're more of a casual follower, you're not meeting him until now that he steps into the head job. He seems every bit in the press conference of what you want as a coach. He seems extremely comfortable talking to the media. He comes across as very serious, very organized, but also a human being, a person. He's talking about, you know, he's lost 25 pounds since he took the offensive coordinator job. And while I don't recommend that as a good diet, he said it's from being too busy to eat. That's the Thomas Brown weight loss plan. He killed in the press conference.
Right.
And the reason that I think that – there's two reasons why I think that matters. One, that is part of the job.
Yeah.
That is part of the job.
Especially in Chicago, Illinois.
Matt, it is. You're right. Every market is like this.
If you look dumb at a press conference in Chicago, people are going to point it out. That doesn't happen in Jackson.
They play these on the radio. They play these on TV. They play them on the radio in full multiple times, I think, every time the head coach talks. That is an important part of the job that Matt Eberflus – failed at tremendously.
Right.
Matt Nagy did pretty well with that. But the other thing, Pat, is what you're seeing in the press conference from him tracks with what you hear from players.
Right.
So, yeah, you and I liking him, who cares?
Right.
In reality, what does it matter if the media likes Thomas Brown? If we think he's a cool dude.
Right.
His locker room thinks he's a cool dude. That does matter. And I don't think that's how they felt about Matt Eberflus and Shane Waldron.
No, not at the end. DeMarcus Walker was saying today that, you know, he barked at Eberflus after the Vikings game. He didn't like a couple of defensive play calls they had. There's the 3rd and 10 to Jordan Addison where he gets open for 13 yards, just wide open after a Bears timeout in overtime. And, you know, it's, you know, the players were frustrated and the players were pissed. And I wouldn't blame them. I think we'll see starting on Sunday how much of the blame really went to the defensive play caller and how much of it was players need to make a play, too. I don't think it's all of one or all of the other by any stretch. But, yeah, they didn't like the way things were going. DeMarcus Walker says as they're leaving today – or as they're leaving – he said today that as they left the locker room on Thursday, you know, he wasn't particularly surprised that they were – that they'd fired him, that he was – you know, he could see that coming. And he's not the only player who has said that either. Which goes to show you that they, you know, they feel vibes. Look at the word vibes. And, you know, and they're realistic about, you know, what was going wrong in their building.
It's a good week for it too, Patrick, because schedule-wise, I would have marked at San Francisco this time of year a loss going into the season, even back when I thought the Bears were going to be pretty good this year.
Mm-hmm.
That game turns out to be not quite as hard as it would have looked. They're reeling. They don't have Christian McCaffrey. I think they've scored 37 points in their last three games, something like that. I think they've lost three in a row, right? And the Bears are, while struggling, still very talented, still have a quarterback on his way up, and have this infusion of energy and motivation to go and pull an upset. What is really actually, because of San Francisco's struggles, become kind of a modest upset. I think it's a 4-point spread as of this recording.
I think it's plus 178 or something like that if you bet the Bears to win the game. Jason, we don't need to go into the score predictions or anything like that. Given all that's gone on this week, I think that's probably a little beside the point. But suffice to say that at least two people picking in the Sun-Times are going to have the Bears winning the game.
Well, we both think it's plausible that the Bears could win this game.
Yeah, absolutely.
I actually wouldn't have thought that in my much more optimistic outlook of the Bears a few months ago, because I just thought San Francisco was going to be much better. They've been to two Super Bowls in the last 5-6 years. They were in it last year. They've kind of dropped off this year. I don't know if they're like done or and going to have to kind of rebuild some things, or if it's just an off year.
I think it's an off year. You have to look at the injuries there. Be something though, if I would have told you, Jason, on September 1st, that the Bears would be the team to bury the 49ers, you'd sit there and go like, boy, things must have been going pretty well for the Bears, huh? As it turns out, no, not really. Before we go, I do have a fun fact for you. Did we talk about this in the locker room? I talked to many people.
I don't recall if you told me this. We were both in there at one point today, but I don't know if I got any fun facts from you. And I'm always like a little bit apprehensive when you bring this up, because a lot of times these facts are not really that fun.
Thomas Brown today, or on Wednesday, wore a hat with the best of all the Bears logos on it, the script B. The
cursive B.
Cursive B.
Yeah.
Inside the building, do you know who's allowed to wear the cursive B hat?
Is it only the head coach?
The head football coach and no one else.
Really? Wow, I did not know that.
Jason, how fun was that fact?
It is. Did you know that before today?
I was told that today.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's...
Wow.
Yeah, so if you see...
We got a lot of weird traditions around House Hall. Including never firing a coach during the season.
I was going to say, well, yeah, we know that they learn to ignore one tradition.
There's one less.
Is there... It feels like this is all... Like, we've talked the Eberflus thing to death, but before we get out, is there any lasting kind of impression that you've gotten from today or from the locker room Thursday that you think informs the way the Bears are headed here? Or...
I think they can't make the mistake again of hiring someone that is not going to naturally connect with the players. I don't like what I keep hearing about the Bears are looking for a leader of men. I'm pretty sure that's written in the job description every time you hire a coach at any level. That's not significant.
Yeah.
But you can see, Pat, you can see this flaw in their evaluations, Ryan Poles' evaluations, because he was involved in hiring Matt Eberflus, and you wondered, I did at least, in that opening press conference when he's going over his acronym, like, how is this going to really land with 24-year-old millionaires? And then even more of a whiff, because the players did grow to like Eberflus. Some of them did, and for certain periods of time. But an even bigger whiff in this department was Shane Waldron. I mean, just an epic error. If there's anything Thomas Brown clearly already brings to the table before he's even coached his first game as an NFL interim coach, it's that personality that you can easily see going over well in the locker room. And if there's anything you saw from Shane Waldron before he coached his first game with the Bears, it was not that. It was this nervousness, you're just sitting there wondering, like, I don't know if I can't imagine how this goes over in the meeting rooms. They cannot hire somebody else like that, no matter how qualified they might otherwise be. Now, you can't make your hire only off that.
Right.
But it's got to be someone that checks every box. And those two guys, every major coach they've hired so far has not been that, has not checked every box. They hired Eberflus, Getsy, Alan Williams, and Shane Waldron on the assumption that maybe they would learn to check those other boxes over time. And that cannot be a learn-on-the-job type position.
No, and I remember when Matt Eberflus first told us why he chose Shane Waldron from a list of 9 guys, all of whom wound up getting pretty good jobs in the NFL. He said, boy, he's a great teacher.
Yeah.
You sit there and go, like, can you imagine him in the front of a meeting room? Like, in the front of our meeting room, which is the press conference, there was nothing compelling about the way he presented the message. Maybe the message was solid. Who knows? But he didn't sell it. And I'm thinking that our attention spans are better than that of a young player in their 20s. So, that's a good point. You know, the McCaskies have always shied away, I think, since Ditka left, of having – a coach kind of rule with the force of his personality. And I think right now that might be the thing that Kevin Warren probably wants, or at least is more than willing to reconsider.
Well, I don't want to see it off just that, like I've said a few times. Thomas Brown, if it was only off that, Thomas Brown could have the job today.
Yeah.
Right now, big picture, and Caleb, this is one thing that did not come up with Caleb Williams, is what he thinks should the next coach should be. And right. We'll have to get to that with him Sunday or next week. We only get so much time. There's a crowded room. You only get to ask a couple of questions each person. You got to live with whatever doesn't get asked. Now I forgot where I was going with this.
You can't just have the personality. You got to have the chops. And you know,
they have this guy,
right,
who we all agree is incredibly talented and currently headed the right way.
Yeah.
Very possibly headed for huge success as an individual player. They should have gotten everything right when they brought him in this year. They didn't. They thought they did. They didn't. They whiffed enormously on head coach and offensive coordinator. You get a mulligan, and if you're Ryan Poles and listening to Monday, it's going to be your only mulligan.
Yep.
It's going to be 2025. You know, there needs to be major progress or you're out, based on interpreting Kevin Warren's vibe and comments. You get another chance to get everything right, and that needs to include, because, man, the Bears don't usually have this opportunity. They're usually trying to figure out how to fix Mitch or fix Justin. They've got the guy, in my opinion, and in their opinion. You have to get it right this time. Get the best offensive-minded head coach you can get. We've had this conversation 5 times in the last 5 days, Patrick. Right now, that's Ben Johnson. 1A, 1B, maybe 1-2 with Cliff Kingsbury, right, in my opinion. It's not Thomas Brown.
Right.
5 games from now, Thomas Brown could totally change everybody's minds. And I asked him today about, you know, these two ideas of he's got to coach, he's got to have them ready to play the 49ers. Right. He needs to know, Pat, for the first time in his entire life, what the Bears are going to be doing defensively in this game. Mm-hmm. It's not his sole responsibility, but he needs to know.
Right.
And he needs to, for the first time in probably his career and his life, needs to be sitting down with the analytics people to talk through some game situations, right, and how he wants to handle whether they go for two or whether they call timeout at certain times or whatever. That's a lot of work right now. You know, he'll have no trouble missing meals right now because he'll be very busy. Also, it's this massive career opportunity that's been dropped in his lap.
Yeah.
It's huge. Thomas Brown... It's not just here. There, you know, every year there's, what, 8 or 9 jobs open, mm-hmm, around the league. Thomas Brown is a candidate for everybody.
Yes.
Right now. The whole league will be watching from afar. The Bears get to watch from the inside to see what he does. And if he is not only very good and continues what he has done with Caleb Williams in the offense, but shows great competency in managing a staff, managing the day-to-day, managing the locker room, managing games, like challenge flags and the clock, he can absolutely vault himself onto the level of Ben Johnson and Cliff Kingsbury, both in the Bears' eyes and the rest of the league's.
Yeah, because he answers a question that you're never going to truly know, which is, how does he get along with the quarterback? What is their relationship like? How do they work together? And Shane Waldron is evidence of what happens when you think you know, and then as it turns out, you don't.
He can't lie. Thomas Brown's not going to lie because it's going to be on television.
Yep. Much the same way Shane Waldron.
We'll see all of television. It. We'll see all of it.
And Jason, we will be there, and we will be there to podcast and write and do other things. Until then, you can follow Jason, myself, on the Sun-Times website, on their app, on social media. And if you live in town, pick up a paper. He's Jason. I'm Pat. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back again real soon.